And now on this song here, sing the first two verses with the piano playing, and then on the last verse, let's just sing it a cappella together. This is the only other song I'm singing. I'm going to get right into preaching, and Jason's going to sing a special one. I got a special message here for you, I believe, and I want to get right to it. It's in the matter of prayer. And so let's stand. The first two verses of the piano, the last verse, we'll just sing a cappella together.
One night he wandered into that old mission, the one out on the poor side of town. He really had no interest in salvation, just a place to lay his drunk old body down. He said, "Ma'am, I sure am hungry, and I don't have a penny to my name. Lord knows I ain't worked in a month of Sundays. I'm dirty, dead, broke, and so ashamed. I need bread and water, ma'am. that's all I need. Bread and water, a place to rest my feet. I ain't too proud to get down on my knees if the bread and water's free. She said, "You're always welcome at this table." She said, "Brother, you look like you could use a friend. And there's no need to pay if you're not able. You see, even Jesus, he was a homeless man." She opened up the Word and started reading about the Savior and the woman at the well. She said, "It ain't for me to judge this life you're leading. There's only two things can save your soul from hell. Bread and water, man, that's all you need. Bread and water, a place to rest your feet. Don't be too proud to get down on your knees. The bread and water's free." Bowed his head, he kind of choked up. They spoke every word of a sinner's prayer. He had closed his eyes, and when he opened, he found bread and water waiting there. Bread and water, man, that's all you need. Bread and water, a place to rest your feet. Bread and water, man, that's all you need. Bread and water, brother, just be. You ain't too proud to get down on your knees. The bread and water's free. Don't be too proud to get down on your knees. The bread and water's free.
Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm not going to preach in Matthew this morning. I have something special. I just feel led to preach to you. Maybe not so much preach, just to discuss with you. And the subject at hand is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, and it says this, very long verse, very deep verse, theologically, First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Title of the message is, Why Pray? By way of introduction, if God knows everything and is in control of everything, why do we need to pray? If God is supreme, in charge, and all that the Bible says He is, control of everything, nothing happens He doesn't know about, why do we need to pray? It seems that things happen certain ways whether I pray or not, you might say. Okay? Doesn't really matter. Things happen. Sometimes I pray and things happen. Sometimes I don't pray and things still happen. It seems that things happen certain ways whether I pray or not. Often one can think that prayer really has nothing to do with outcomes of circumstances, or write it off as a coincidence that something happens simply at the same time that I happen to be praying for it. And that's maybe what I would say is answered prayer. Often one can think that prayer really has nothing to do with outcomes of circumstances. They're just going to happen. And my having prayed at that particular time simply is a coincidence. Or if not a coincidence, I'm just going to just write that off as something I can't explain. So we come back to why pray? Why pray? Well, the first reason why we should pray is because God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. You say, okay, well, all right, I know that. I know that. Yeah, I know that too. But I'm still preaching this message. Folks, I'm preaching to myself as well as to you, all right? Okay? Don't think I'm standing up here got something against you or anything. I don't. I got something against me. And most of what I'm going to say here tonight came right out as I was talking to the Lord myself about my own situation as to why I don't pray like I should. First of all, God wants us to pray. And there it is, your verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Would you, you're right there, just turn a page or whatever to go to verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. You say, well, that's Paul saying, that's not God. Well, Paul's under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, brethren, pray for us. Then that's something God's telling me to do. Brethren, pray for us. That's a call out from your fellow believers asking you to pray for them. You say, well, that's, well, I don't see that. Well, you should see that. Put yourself right there. Brethren, all you other brothers and sisters in Christ, pray for us. We're brothers and sisters in Christ too. Would you pray for us? God wants us to pray. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and verse 2 and 3. After he addresses the folks there at the Thessalonian church, he says this in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. God wants us to pray. He wants us to mention each other in prayer. Colossians chapter 4. You don't have to go too far, I don't think. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. We're asked by God here to continue in prayer. In verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open up a door. Philippians, let's go back to the left a little bit more. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And of course, you know the rest of the verse, and the peace of God passeth all understanding. We love those verses. But I want you to see verse 6 telling me, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. God wants us to pray. He wants you to pray. Go now to the right to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go through Thessalonians, come to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 down through verse 6. I exhort therefore that first of all, you all get tickets to the Eagles game. Is it? No, I didn't say that. No. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. Yeah, those in authority over us. The ones we just elected out and the ones we just elected in. Okay? Pray for them that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. See, God wants us to pray. This is good and acceptable. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God wants us to pray. And you don't have to go much further. Look, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. God wants us to pray. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. God wants us to pray. Why pray? Because God wants us to pray. Why pray? Another thing. Because God has promised to listen and answer. Now here's where the brakes kind of go on this thing. Not too sure about that. Because God has promised to listen and answer. Go to Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. And go there. I'm going to read several verses. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them. And this is referring to Jesus. And you can see if you have red letters, the rest of the verse is going to be red letter. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God. He must have known about the United States, huh? Okay. Neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Someone was taking advantage of this widow woman. And she probably has nothing being widowed. Verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I'm going to say this. I'm sure glad God is not like that. I'm sure glad God is not like this judge. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect? I hope you can stick yourself in there. as a born-again Bible-believing Christian. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? How about it? Have you been praying some prayers for a long, 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 long time? Do you think God is like the unjust judge saying, I'm so sick and tired of them continually praying that same request? Or No. The unjust judge is like that, but not God. And it's assumed that you believe that when it says in verse 7, and shall not God. In other words, assuming you know that God is not like that. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now up there it says, though he bear long. And now he's saying speedily. I don't get that. Well, that's because I live, although I gave up wearing wristwatches a long time ago, because they were putting pressure points in my hands and stuff. So I don't wear a wristwatch, but I'm always looking at the clock. Look, you say you don't look at the clock. Oh, no, you don't tell us you look at the clock, preacher. Yeah, it's sitting there right in front of my face, but I don't really pay attention to it. But I live in a element of time, an atmosphere of time. God doesn't. All right? God doesn't. That unjust judge did. He was getting tired of it. What time? It's about time for her to come again. Oh, how long is she going to take my time to tell me about her trouble? God does not live in that realm. He's eternal. And my prayer requests to him, though they be long, when I get to the other side, and this is the only way I can answer this, when I get to the other side, I will see that he answered it speedily. I will understand it better by and by. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What an interesting thing to say. Will he find faith? Will he find those who are bringing their requests unto the Lord long time over and over again? Or is he not going to find anybody doing that? Exercising faith. You know, when you pray, a lot of it has to do with what you believe. Your faith. What you believe about God and everything. I mean, the rest of the world, maybe even some close friends, are going to make fun of you. Oh, here he goes. We can't eat till we thank the Lord for the food. There he goes again. Yeah. Oh, it's Thanksgiving, and we're going to have a meal, but of course he's going to want to pray a real long prayer, and the gravy will get cold, and the potatoes will get cold by the time he's done. A lot of it has to do with what you believe about God and those things. God has promised to listen and answer. Go to Psalm 55, verse 17. Get a witness from the Old Testament here. Psalm 55 and verse 17. The psalmist writes, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, was David speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit or not? Is this the word of God or not? Is this true or is it not true? It's true. It's true. It's the word of God. And I'm going to just take this by faith. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. God has promised to listen and to answer. Isaiah chapter 65. I like this one. Isaiah 65. I say I like it, but I'm not going to be saying to you that I exercise the truth of it like I should. I'm not going to stand up here and pretend I'm somebody that I'm not. Isaiah 65, verse 24. The prophet Isaiah says this right coming from the Lord himself. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now, I do believe this takes you into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But I don't think the Lord has changed anyway. And I can show you other verses as well. And in fact, I'm going to show you another verse, another incident where this took place. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isn't that a great God? What a great promise that is. God has promised to listen and answer. And sometimes, even before I start praying, he's working to bring the answer about. Or he's working to hear me. He's hearing me even before I bring my request unto him. What kind of great God is that? You know, the gods of the heathen, like on the Mount Carmel with Elijah challenging them, whoever's God can bring fire down from heaven, let him be the God of Israel. They cut themselves with knives, jumped on top of the altar and everything, calling out, "Oh, Baal, hear us! Oh, Baal, hear!" Imagine the futility of such a thing. "I'm bleeding. Give me an answer." No answer. Elijah made fun of their gods. Said maybe he's on a trip. Or he's doing something else private and he can't pay attention to you. And then Elijah prayed. And you know what happened. And the fire came down from heaven and devoured up everything. Even the stones and the altar, everything. What a sight that was. God has promised to listen and answer. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9, if you would. Daniel chapter 9. Here's an incident I give you. Daniel chapter 9. And we'll be starting at verse 20, but I want you to realize that in the beginning of the chapter, or chapter 9, verse 20. No, chapter 9, verse 20. Verse 20. "And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel," this is Daniel, "and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God," referring back to Jerusalem. He was in captivity. He was away from Jerusalem. He was carried off into captivity. He's praying for the holy mountain. Verse 21. "Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, upon whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth.'" What came forth? For him to go to Daniel and give him the answer. "And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." Then he gives the 70 weeks vision there. He says, in the very beginning of your prayer time, I was sent speedily to come and help give you an answer. Go over to chapter 10. And we're going to go down to verse 12. But here's where I wanted you to see the beginning of this chapter. Verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. That's 21 days. He started to fast and pray and make supplication unto the Lord. Now, verse 12. "Then said he unto me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day.'" Now, Daniel had to go 21 days without eating. I wonder how far would we have gone wanting to get an answer from the Lord. Take a look at your history of prayer and prayer time, Christian, and me too. Have we often given up when we should have just kept on? Here it says here, verse 12, "For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. See, God has promised to hear and answer, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Down to 14. "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." Wow. Whew. You started out 21 days ago. I was already sent on the first day. It took a while to get there. Sometimes you wonder, why is it that my prayer isn't being answered? Christian, there are things you just don't know that are going on out there in the spiritual world. The realm of where our prayers go up into and are heard and answered by God. And sometimes you're not going to be aware of what's going on out there in reference to the answer to your prayer. God has promised to listen and answer. John on the Isle of Patmos says, "I, being in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Now, I know the word prayer isn't in there, but I would think that John was talking to the Lord in his prison cell for the testimony of the Lord. And he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I don't know how he couldn't be praying and talking to the Lord, communing with the Lord, and being that way. And God gave him the whole book of Revelation, which we love, enjoy, reading. "Blessed is he that readeth the words of this book." I believe it came out of a moment of praying unto the Lord. But here's another incident. Go with me to Genesis chapter 24. This is one of the most beautiful stories in your Bible. I always enjoy preaching on this one. And this is when Abraham's servant went to get a bride for Isaac. This is just a beautiful story. I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm actually hoping you know the story. If you don't know the story, I think you would appreciate it better if you would take time to read the whole account yourself. But in Genesis chapter 24, Isaac's mother died, and Abraham wants to get a wife for his son Isaac. And he sets up a covenant between himself and his servant, his faithful servant in his house. And he said to his servant, "I want you to go back to my relative's place and find a wife for Isaac and bring her back here." And of course the servant said, "Well, what if I can't find one?" The Lord will be with you, he's telling him. "And I want you to take all these tokens, his riches and material things, and present it to her and bring her back." "Well, what if I can't?" "Well, if you can't, then you'll be relieved of the covenant." So he goes. He's got all the camels loaded down with all the goods and the wealth, which probably was only just a portion of it. And with that, he was hoping to impress the future wife of Isaac. Well, he goes on his way. And in chapter 24, verse 12, "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee." All right, I want you to see, God has promised to hear and answer. I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking. See that? Before he had done speaking. So God's already working. Oh, I think God's already working a long time on this. Because you got to get a lot of things prepared for what's about to happen to take place. I mean, we're not just talking about one morning Rebecca wakes up, I got to go down to the well. Oh, there's going to be a guy there. No, no, no. She went every day doing this. This was her practice. And who knows, there may have been days she said, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to listen to my dad. I'm not going to listen to my uncle. I'm not going to listen. You know, all kinds of things could mess this whole thing up, right? A lot of things. What if the servant had delayed a little bit? Didn't get there at the right time? Boy, this servant, he must have been a godly man. He wanted this to happen for the benefit, not of himself, but of his master, Abraham. Could it be that he had learned some things about Abraham and who he was and what kind of God he served? You know, there's a whole lot of things here. Folks, this whole matter of praying is not just a tried out one time only kind of thing. This is a thing that ought to be fitting right into our lives every day. It just needs to become a part of our very being throughout each day. Praying, talking to the Lord. Well, verse 15, it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. See how far do I want to go on this one. Go down to verse 27. I hope you know this story. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel, Rebekah, ran, told them of her mother's house these things. Of course, he unloaded some of the riches and put it on her arms and around her neck, some of the jewels. You remember when the first time was you heard the gospel and the preacher laid out the jewels and the greatness of your Savior Jesus Christ? Remember your response? All right. Well, verse 42. Go over to verse 42. How he gets into the house, sees his master's brother, is talking to him about letting Rebekah go, come with him to meet Isaac, become his wife. Verse 42. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk, I will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. That's Abraham said that to his servant. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go. You know what he's doing? He's telling Laban and the household there about the prayer that he had made that God had answered. See, I don't think there's anything wrong with us rejoicing in the prayers that God has answered and to talk about them. I like the back of our prayer bulletin that we have here, Answers to Prayer. Kathy Helly, not heart attack, came home from hospital. Isn't that great? And what does her husband do? He takes the heart attack and he goes into the hospital last week. I'm just joking a little bit there. But he comes home in answer to prayer. I mean, prayer went up on Wednesday night about this. And about, then later on, when did you go in? It was what? Tuesday. This Katrina girl came out of a coma. Caleb had a virus that's gone now. Helen Gazdaska, we've been praying for her for many years. Health restored. Lance, health much improved. In fact, he even said, oh, you can take my name off. Why? Because he doesn't need prayer anymore. No, he knows he needs more prayer, but our God heard our prayers and answered them. And look, Dave Root, God answered our prayer and brought him back to us. Amen. I mean, he was bad off. Bill Buskirk. Hate to say it, Bill, but I thought you were a goner. Look, he's still here. He's better than any of us just about. Let me go. How about Joe, the knees? He's walking around on brand new knees. Who else can I pick on? All right, you know, Chris Mitchell. God's been merciful to him. Kept him with us. Craig Helly, just this week, did a wonderful thing. I got a call from Kathy the other day. I just want you to know he's at home. And he's resting and he's doing okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Margot, even before she actually started coming here regularly, we were praying for her. She was in bad shape with cancer. And there she sits. And then, of course, myself. And all the people we prayed for, Pastor Ray, how many things we prayed for him. Bobby Reno, praying for him. John Reno, prayed for him. All kinds of things have happened over many weeks. And our God hears us. Now, why pray? Because God wants us to pray. Because God has promised to answer and listen. And because of the examples of praying in God's word. Now, we've already gave you one there with the servant of Abraham. But here's one I want to give you to really challenge you. This thought really has challenged me. Jesus, while on earth, prayed to his heavenly Father up in heaven. If he saw the need to pray to his Father up in heaven, surely you and me need to be praying to our Father up in heaven. Often when I think of Jesus, I think, well, you know, he's God come in the flesh. He could take care of himself. Well, there's something about what happened here when Jesus incarnate took upon himself flesh and blood and bones, just like you and me. There's something about what happened there. Prior to that, he was with the Heavenly Father from eternity past in heaven. He left heaven, and there's scripture, and I'm not going to go into this. I'm just going to assume you're doctrinally sound here this morning to know that he gave up a lot of what he was able to do before that in order to come down here and take upon himself the form of a man as even an infant in the womb of Mary. And to be born as anyone else is born. To have diapers changed just like anybody else had to have them changed. To be fed and held and watched over for years until he grew up to be a young boy of 12 years old. At which time, you know, the story of him being in the temple, answering the questions, the hard questions. Parents wondering where he was, had to come down and to them rescue him. He said, wait a minute, I must be about my Father's business. He understood, but yet he was limited with that human body that he took upon himself, and living within this world of humans, okay, limiting himself with us, eating the same things we eat, walking among us, hearing the same cries, moans, groans, happy laughter times, all those things he did. You know, he didn't just come down here and he kept all of his abilities and things that he had with him in heaven. He gave up, lowered himself down even through the realm of the angels. And even among men, he didn't take a high place. He could have came here as king. He could have said, move over, all you kings of the earth, I'm here. He had every right to do it. He made them. But he didn't. Among men, he took the lowest place you could take. A slave. A servant. That he might go to the cross and pay the price for our sins there. He had human body limitations. And while he was in that limitation type of realm, he enjoyed his times alone with his Father up in heaven. And how did he do it? He didn't have any telephone direct. He did just what he asks you to do. Get on your knees, you know, bow your head, close your eyes, talk to your Father up in heaven. He did that. He purposely put time aside that he might spend time in prayer. You would think if the Lord's here, you know, he's got to do all the things that he's got to do. He doesn't have time to be just doing nothing. Oh, it's not just doing nothing. Prayer is not just doing nothing. This is how we respond to the exhortation to pray. Well, I don't really have time today. Is that an okay thing to say? Think about the Lord. If anyone didn't have time, might it be him? I mean, he's got to save the whole world. And you know something else too? He stayed right there in Judea and Galilee. He didn't go all around the different countries. He could have. He could have disappeared and gone over to the New World or whatever, or around into Arabia, or gone over to China if he wanted to. He didn't. He stayed right there. Stayed right there. And he put up with all the things that he put up with that we read in the Gospels. The rejection of his own people and everything. How about the 10 lepers? Only one came back to thank him. He says, where are the 9? I healed 10 of you. Where's the 9? Limitations he was under. He found time and thought it important. I need to talk to the Lord up in heaven. So do you and me. That's really all I can say in response to that. So do you and me. We need to pray unto the Lord up in heaven, just like the Father, or just like the Lord did. And here's something else. He hasn't stopped doing this. You might say, well, you know what? I used to pray a lot, but, oh well, I just don't do it anymore. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prayed while he was here, and guess what he's doing right now? Praying for us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, he's making intercession for us. Well, that's easy for him to do. Look, he's taking time out of his existence. Of course, I know he's not in the realm of time, but not now. But He is spending time talking about you, you, and me. And I mean literally individually. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. This is after the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, some of the disciples were arguing who should be the greatest among them. I'm going to sit in his right hand. Oh, I'm going to sit in his left hand. Oh, no, I'm going to. No, I'm. Oh, boy. Going back and forth like that. And of course, some would say, I'll never deny you, Lord. Oh. Look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. That's Peter, okay? Not the first pope. That's just Simon, okay? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know what a sift is, you know? Put all the wheat on there and go like this, and the good stuff is hopefully going to come out the bottom. Or no, the bad stuff will come out the bottom. The good stuff will stay on top of the sift. Whatever you're trying to do, okay? It'll work either way there. Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. Verse 32. But I have, what does it say, folks?
Prayed.
I have prayed. That's already, I've prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, I don't believe that conversion there means get saved, just when he gets himself straightened out, having denied the Lord, and you get things straightened out in your mind, then strengthen your brethren. And I've prayed for you. I'm just going to say this based upon that passage, and you can accuse me of using a passage in a wrong way if you want to. Go ahead. I believe the Lord prays for every one of us individually. I got some verses I think I can prove that. That one in Hebrews 7:25 is a good one. And there's others that say he's in the presence of the Father on our behalf. And I believe on my behalf. 1 John talks about him being an advocate for me. And he intercedes. I believe he talks about me directly to the Father. How about hanging on the cross? I don't think this is a hard thing for the Lord to do now. Even on the cross in the midst of his agony. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Oh, he, you know, could have said all kinds of things on that cross. Well, what does he do? He intercedes. He prays. You know what, folks? What I'm trying to say here is, why pray? Because even Jesus prayed while he was here on this earth. And he prayed for Peter. And I believe he's praying for you and me. How about Paul had a thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And he prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it from him. And you know what the answer was? I'm not taking it away, Paul. I'm not taking it away. It's going to stay with you. So that you won't think of yourself more highly than you should. I've given you great visions and revelations. You've written some things that no one else has ever heard of before. And lest you be exalted, whether that would be of his own self exalting himself or others exalting Paul, which some have unduly, God gave him a thorn and said, I'm not taking it away. But Paul, through it, I'm going to glorify myself. I'm going to show my strength through your weakness. And actually, Paul, when you're weak, then you're strong. You know, sometimes we pray, don't we? And a lot of our prayers do center and focus around our sicknesses. Okay, it's just that way. That's just the way it is. If you come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, you'll hear it every single Wednesday night. I'm not saying it's wrong, but this is just what it is. This is what we focus on. It's, oh, I'm not feeling good, would you pray for me? Or I have someone that isn't feeling good, would you pray for them? And there's someone there really in bad shape. And on and on and on. I go, look at, yeah, look at that. There it is, filled with people who are ill and sick and trouble, problem. We center and focus in on that. Sometimes the Lord doesn't give us the answer we would like. But we still pray anyway. You know, I've had two children. Some of you have had children too. All of you have been somebody's child, okay? And it's interesting how parents work. Parents who really love their children don't mind their children coming to them, asking them for whatever they need. I enjoy that myself. I really do. I enjoy the kids coming and asking for things. Or asking for wisdom. Not that their dad is real wise or anything, but, you know, they do sometimes come and ask for wisdom. Dad, what do you think? What do you think about this? That's what we need to do with our Heavenly Father. Lord, what do you think I should do? I need direction from you. Give me some kind of guidance along this line. I don't know which way to go. See, it doesn't always have to be sickness related. It should be, there's a lot of things that we can do in prayer, by the way, and I'm not going to get to these things when I'm just going to throw them out for you. We should be praying for a lot of things. And in, I'll give you the one in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Yep. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions. Now, intercessions might get into the sickness area of it. But we're to supplicate before the Lord. We'll put our petitions out there before Him. And prayers, just praising the Lord and thanking Him for things. Acknowledging God for who He is in your prayer. It's not always, dear God, thank you for the food. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I prayed today. That's good. That's good. And you should be thanking the Lord for the food. But that better not be all that your prayer is for a day. And I do not think that you have to always be in a prayer closet condition or position or location in order to pray. You can pray while you're wide awake walking down the street. Lord! Oh, how about if you see someone walking toward you that you know needs the Lord? Lord, give me an opportunity to give that guy a track. All right? Okay, good. There it comes. All right, yeah, you know what? Here's something that talks about how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Yeah, give it to them. Talking to the Lord, we need to be in a condition of just always being ready to just talk to the Lord at any time. And there are needs for us to take seasons of prayer time with the Lord up in heaven. Take time to pray. And we need to pray mostly, probably about sicknesses. Pray for our country. Pray for souls to be saved. Pray for ourselves. Lord, I need help from you. The psalmist so often calls out like that. How about, Lord, I need to be more spiritual than I was yesterday. Help me to love you more than I've ever loved you before. These are things you pray about. Why pray? I know sometimes we think it's a waste of time. It is not. It is not. The Lord does hear our prayers and He does answer them. Some of them, though, He may not give an answer for a while. That doesn't mean stop praying. He's real. Our God is real, and he's a person. He has a will. And that will says this, and I read it in the Bible, God is not willing that any should perish. Well, guess what? I should pray then that some souls would get saved. I would encourage you folks, learn to pray. Learn to pray. Now, the Lord's Prayer is a model for us to pray after. But don't make it a repetitious thing. Do you know that in the passage where the Lord taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer, as we call it, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that about two or three verses prior to that it says, use not vain repetition? So, you know, some people, the only prayers they know are these recited prayers that you do. And of course, our Catholic friends, they have all their Hail Marys, Our Fathers, and all the special prayers that you pray. Don't do that. You need to learn to talk to God like you would like your own father or mother on earth when you request things. Because you're a child of God. Now, I do believe respect, and you should have some respect as you come to the Father. I don't think you should come like the hippies would come. Hey, cool man, upstairs. None of that. You know what it's always good to do? I'm just talking now, sorry. When you pray, acknowledge who you're talking to. God, I'm glad you're the God of the Bible. You know, just talk to him like that. I'm glad you're there and always ready to hear me. I'm glad for all the things you've made, created. You know, there's nothing wrong with talking to him like that. You know, if you wanted something from your own father, a lot of times you'd butter him up a little bit, wouldn't you? You come in and say, hey, Dad, you know what? I'm really glad you're my dad. Can I have the car tonight? You have your ways, don't you? Don't you have your ways? You know you aren't going to get anything out of them if you just mouthed off or didn't obey or something like that. That's not the time you're going to come and ask your father for something. Well, you know, I think when we talk to our Heavenly Father up in heaven, we need to acknowledge who he is and who you are. Thank you for saving this sinner. Thank you for washing me clean. Thank you for the home I have in heaven. Thank you for the home I have here. Thank you for the clothes I'm wearing. Thank you for the job I have. Thank you for the money you've given to me. Thank you for the family. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my grandchildren. You know what, folks? You start talking to the Lord the way you should, you'll find, well, no, that was a sweet hour of prayer. That was a sweet hour of prayer. I would encourage you. And I'm encouraging myself. He does answer prayer. And it's a real thing we should do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for prayer, for the privilege of it, and help us not to neglect it. Oh, teach us to pray. Put things in our life to cause us to pray. That puts us on our knees and makes us realize we need help from heaven. How is it we can go day in and day out without talking to you, communing with you, praising you, interceding on others' behalf as well as ourselves? How is it, Lord? Just help us in this matter. In your Son's name, who's sitting right at your right hand now, probably saying amen. Oh, Father, teach us to pray. Help us to see how real it is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well,